Godlywood Studios presents ब्रह्मकुमारीज पॉडकास्ट। सुनते रहिए दिल से दिल तक पॉडकास्ट विद अभिनंदन जिंदल।
How you got into ब्रह्मकुमारीज?
ब्रह्मकुमारीज, I was exposed to it once I got married because my mother-in-law is in Gyan. So she's been in Gyan for over 30 years.
Did you follow any of the things that ब्रह्मकुमारीज tell you to do?
So slowly, you know, we're trying to put little, you know, follow some of the principles.
But do you personally like them?
I am trying to follow majority of the principles, but I wouldn't say I'm 100% there. But already I'm so new into it, but I have so many beautiful experiences. So, and even prior to the podcast, it's such an amazing experience.
Do you feel happy to see your children like this?
I mean, we can't all be perfect in everything, and just say to yourself, Baba's with you.
Do you follow your Didi in your particular center, or you just go there, meditate, and come back?
The Didis there are lovely, and I thank them because of them, I'm here with you today.
How was your experience coming to Madhuban?
I think Pandav Bhavan's energy is amazing. You know, Peace Tower, Baba's Chupti, I think it's called, Baba's room.
Did you go to Avyakt Lok?
I found the Amrit Vela the most powerful. That was my. It was such a surreal moment.
Are you also waiting for Satyug?
Well, I think my mother-in-law makes a very good comment on this. So she goes, you know, my whole house is already like a swarg. You know, we're already living that.
And do you ever wish to surrender yourself?
At this stage, I'd say no, because I have a Lokik family. At this stage, probably not.
तो स्वागत है आप सभी का दिल से दिल तक के आज के नए एपिसोड में। आज है हमारे साथ बीना सिस्टर, तो आइए जानते हैं उनके लाइफ के एक्सपीरियंसेस के बारे में। ओम शांति।
ओम शांति।
हाउ आर यू?
आई एम गुड, थैंक यू। हाउ आर यू?
सो लेट्स स्टार्ट विद योर लाइफ एक्सपीरियंस ऑफ हाउ यू गॉट इनटू ब्रह्मकुमारीज एंड हाउ इज स्पिरिचुअलिटी समथिंग व्हिच रिलेट्स टू यू।
ब्रह्मकुमारीज, आई वाज एक्सपोज्ड टू इट वंस आई गॉट मैरिड। Before that, I was more sort of, you know, come from a very Gujarati, traditional Gujarati upbringing. So, you know, quite bhakti orientated, devotion. So Brahmakumari is only something that sort of I was made aware since after I got married, because my mother-in-law is in Gyan. So she's been in Gyan for over 30 years. Mm. And same with my, you know, father-in-law. My sister-in-law is also in Gyan as well. And my husband also, you know, he went to Madhuban when he was 8 years old. So he came here when he was 8 years old. And he was lucky enough to meet all the dadis and, you know, just have such special, amazing memories and blessings. So he's already always had that as a foundation of his belief system. But when I met him, he wasn't sort of, you know, regularly going to the center. It wasn't part of his life as such. But he had those principles sort of embedded in himself, but it's not something he openly talked about. So again, it was not something that was, you know, discussed between the two of us much. It was just something, you know, if it came up, he would mention it, but, you know, nothing sort of major in terms of conversation. But I think when it really kicked in for me, my personal journey kicked in about 3 years ago. So I'm lucky enough to say that, you know, I've got children, three beautiful souls that, you know, that was my role to bring them into this world. And as a mother, I think you come to a point where, you know, you're doing so much. You know, I run my own business. So I started my own business 2 years ago as well. So that's like my other baby, my fourth baby, I'd say. So, you know, it was all getting a lot. You know, you're running a business, you're a mother, you're a wife, you know, you're a daughter-in-law, you have all these different roles as per the drama. Really sort of basic principles of Brahmakumaris in such a way that people can sort of, you know, connect with that. They can associate with that and think, actually, you know what? I can do this. I can follow some of this as well and put it into daily practice and not make it sound so difficult. So in terms of my journey, I think it came to a point where I felt I wanted to go inwards. I wanted to better myself as a mother, as a wife, as a person. And I felt like even in my professional work as well, I felt like something was, you know, stopping me from being better. You know, in any business or in any professional work, it's always going to be like that, isn't it? You're going to have True. Dips. And sometimes when you have those dips, you've got to have a toolkit of being able to tap into some sort of strength or some sort of, you know, some sort of power almost to uplift you. You've got to be able to go into somewhere to allow you to think, okay, it's okay. I'm going to make peace with this and I'll come up with a solution. You know, I'll sort this out. So I think there's elements of those, and I thought I need to sort of work on myself. So it came to a point where, you know, I thought, right, I'm going to do the Raj Yoga course. It wasn't available to me at the center at that time because the class times didn't work for the children because it was their bedtime. So I thought, oh gosh, how am I going to make this work? Because, you know, again, being a mom, you know, your time is, you know, you're not in control of your own time. You've got to look after the children at the end of the day. So they come first. So I thought, oh gosh. So then the online course was available.
Okay.
So I was able to do the Raj Yoga course online. It's a 4-week course. And the brother that delivered the course was brilliant. He was very, very good. So he's one of our local sort of teachers at the center anyhow. So I did the course and I thought, okay, this feels like, you know, it was quite easy to take in. It felt nice. And it gave me sort of, I was able to sort of, you know, connect with it, I guess. It spoke to me. So I thought, this seems quite, you know, it seems quite nice. There's nothing, you know, negative in this. I'm struggling to see anything negative in this. So from there, then I thought, okay, I want to take it one step further now. I want to try and go to Murali class.
That's nice. So you did you follow any of the things that Brahma Kumaris tell you to do? I mean, since you are a vegetarian, so that's not a problem for you. But other than that, like, you know, following certain rituals, principles.
Yeah.
So you ever thought of?
Yeah, definitely. And obviously, I'm still very early into the journey. So, you know, 2-3 years into the process. So slowly, slowly, you know, we're trying to put little, you know, follow some of the principles.
But do you personally like them?
I don't know if I wouldn't say if I like them or not, but I do feel that there's a reason for them, and I do feel that some of them do make sense. But at the same time, I feel like it's okay if sometimes, you know, and this is only my own opinion.
Yeah, you can, please.
Sometimes, you know, to do everything 100%, you know, especially in the early days. I mean, if you've been doing it for so many years, then I'm sure those principles are really, really, you know, all of the principles are probably embedded. But I think in the early days and when you're still new to it, it takes a while, I think. It's got to come from you.
But do you think that one needs to follow all these principles to, you know, reach that destination of, you know, getting spiritually fulfilled?
I don't know. I can't speak for others. I feel like I can talk on my own experience.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, I'm trying to follow majority of the principles, but I wouldn't say I'm 100% there. But already I'm so new into it, but I have so many beautiful experiences. You know, I can sit in Baba's room and I can ask him a question and I get the message, I get the answer of
beautiful.
What the solution is.
Okay.
You know, this podcast, for example, it was nothing planned. I sat down to have tea and my snack and somehow I got connected to a lovely sister and here we are, you know. So, and even prior to the podcast, it's such an amazing experience. You know, I was sitting in Baba's room, I think it's Baba's Jupri in Pandavapavan. And Hindi is not my first language. I speak Gujarati and English.
Okay.
I can speak basic Hindi, but not very well. But I understand it. But when I was in Baba's room, I was speaking in Hindi in my mind. And I was basically having this conversation in Hindi in my mind. So it's like Baba was already preparing me for this conversation. But I didn't know where this was going. And previous to that, I was saying to Baba, you know, I really want to learn Hindi because I feel like I'd understand the Murali better if I could understand Hindi, because I feel like the English translation, although it's brilliant, I feel like sometimes some of the words, the translation's not accurate.
Okay.
And that's just my opinion again. So I thought, you know, I'd love to learn Hindi. And again, so I think then that's why Baba was making me, you know, say sort of this conversation in Hindi, which is so surreal because I don't think in Hindi and I don't talk in Hindi. Mm. So yes, I don't know. I can't talk about the points and the principles, but all I can say is that being so early in the journey and not following it 100%, I've had some amazing encounters and some beautiful experiences.
Please share some of them if you want to.
So that's one of them, the Hindi one. I think that really shook, like, I was just like, oh my God, where's that come from? And just small things, really small things. Like, you know, me and my son, so he's 11 years old. And so he's just recently come into Gyan. And again, that happened very naturally. You know, he used to come with me to the meditation and we just sit quietly. So I said, you know, do you want to come to Murli class? Do you want to try it? And he goes, yeah, I'll give it a go. So, you know, he now comes to Murli class every week. If he doesn't come, he's not happy. He wants to go to Murli class. You know, he needs to go. And if he's on holidays, then he'll go 2-3 times a week. He'll go as much as he can. And he'll make lovely notes and, you know, and his handwriting is amazing as well. And he's to the point where he can come back from the Murli class. Like, I'll give you an example, actually. Sorry to backtrack. But
yeah.
I spoke to him yesterday, and he went to the Murli on Saturday. So I said, you know, did you go to Murli class? And he goes, yeah. I said, do you remember what it was about? And he told me everything. And that's 2 days after. So he can take it in, and he remembers the essence of the Murli, just like that.
That is the main thing. You know, you just attending the class and not getting the essence doesn't make any sense.
Yes, exactly. So he's able to take it in at such a young age, and he's able to recite it back to you, but in a practical way. So he'd be like, yeah, Baba said this, that, and the other, you know. Just like that, he just casually said it. So then one day we're on our way to the center. So he goes, Mommy, he goes, so we all go together to the center. So me and my mother-in-law, my Masi Sasu, so aunt, mother-in-law, sister, and my sister-in-law. And obviously we wear white. So he's like, Mommy, why do you all wear those clothes, you know, when you're going to the center? So I said, what do you mean? He goes, I said, is it because we're all wearing white? And he goes, yeah, why do you wear white? So I gave my, you know, version of why we wear white. But that day we went to Murli and Baba answered the question of why, you know, we wear white. So I said to him on the way back, I said, oh my God, you asked that question and you got your answer. I said, forget me, you got it directly from Baba. I said, how lucky are you? Yeah. So lots of small little experiences like that we've experienced.
Oh, that's nice.
And then I'd probably just add one more, you know, detail there. So like my 5-year-old son. So obviously he's very young. He doesn't speak Hindi or Gujarati. He just speaks English. He understands basic Gujarati, but he's not able to speak it, you know, fluently. So again, he's now picking it up. You know, we don't, obviously he's too young to explain all of this to, but he loves listening to Baba's songs. He just sits there listening to Baba's songs all day. He's not into watching like TV programs or anything like that, but he just wants to listen to Baba's songs. And to the extreme where he wants to understand the name of every Hindi song of Baba's, and he needs to say it correctly. So he'll be like, Mommy, what's the name of this song? So I'll be like, for example, Mere Sang Sang. So he's like, what is it? Mere Sang Sang. And he's got to pronounce it correctly, and he'll make me repeat it 4 to 5 times until he understands it and he's able to say it fluently. And so then he'll keep playing all those songs. So that's like his own meditation that he's going through. And he'll just sit there very calm, just listen to the songs, and he just goes, you can see he's just going to like another world. And you think, wow, like what must be going through in his mind? What must he be thinking? And you can see he finds it very peaceful.
Now, do you feel happy to see your children like this? I mean, like the way they are.
I do, because you know it's helping them through obstacles. Like, you know, I give you another example. My eldest is going through, in the UK they have SATs, so exams. So he's got his exams at the moment, and he goes, you know, there's area. Obviously, nobody can be perfect in all subjects. So he goes, you know, Mommy, I'm really worried about this particular subject because, you know, I'm not very good at it. And then other people around me know that my results wasn't very good, and I don't want them to know that. And I said, look, you know, don't worry about it. We can't all be perfect in everything. And just say to yourself, Baba's with you. Baba will guide you. He's going to be with you. So don't worry. So when he did his revision papers, he came home. I said, how was it? He said, yeah, it was fine. I didn't even need to think about it. It just happened, just like that. I said, there you go, Ari. I said, you just remember Baba and he will help you through it. So lots of encounters like that. And it's, you know, he's at that age, like as any children, they come into conflict with friendships, peer groups. So again, it's helping him navigate with relationships as well, because people, you know, children, they say things to each other that are not nice. You know, words are hurtful. So again, I say to him, look, you know, we've got to look at that soul. Maybe he's in pain. That's why he's inflicting that pain to you and he's saying negative things. So let's send him love. Let's send him forgiveness, you know, and you watch. He will feel courage to feel better within himself so that then your relationship changes. So in those scenarios, we can, you know, put it into practice. So it has definitely helped them.
Oh, so would you like to tell all the mothers to encourage their children to go to the center and do meditation? And if they are not willing to go to the center, at least they can start just doing meditation.
Yeah, I think everyone's on their own journey, and everyone's got to find what works for them. I'm living that, I guess I'm living it right now, and I've seen how it's beneficial to me. But yeah, meditation is so, you know, I think we overthink it. But yes, it's a beautiful way just to kind of shut everything down, shut all the thinking down. Because I think mothers, and I'm not trying to be discriminative here, but mothers, you know, we do so many things, you know, we balance so many things.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
I think your brain is ticking constantly. You know, it's like, we need to do this, need to plan for this. You're constantly planning. You're like a events organizer, manager.
Yeah.
And, you know, I definitely feel that, you know, everyone can feel the benefits of meditating, just being able to sit quietly with your own thoughts and just thinking good things, think positive and trying to connect, you know, with the Supreme. But I think the key is to not overthink it as well. You know, just keep it simple, just sit quietly and see where it takes you. Everyone's on their own journey. And yeah, just I think it's a trial and test scenario, isn't it? You've got to try it. But yes, I definitely encourage it. And I think it's not important to, you don't have to go to a center because not everyone's fortunate to have a center local to them. And luckily we're in a scenario now where, you know, we're in a world where we can access so much, you know, on YouTube, you know, as I've said myself, you know, so even sometimes listening to that, it builds you up again. It gives you that oomph to think, okay, it's all right. I've got this. So yeah, I definitely encourage it.
Like you go to the center daily. Do you follow your Didi in your particular center, or you just go there, meditate and come back?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I follow any sisters as such. I mean, the Didis there are lovely, and I thank them because of them, I'm here with you today. So, you know, I always thank them and, you know, thank you for their blessings. But for me, my journey personally, I've gone to the center from my own accord. You know, it's just something that happened just like that. And I took the children with me. We used to go for meditation. And from there, I just go to Murli, which the Murli is so lovely. You know, it's very well delivered from all the sisters. You know, they deliver it so nice. And then we have a brother and other sisters that deliver the English class, which is where I go. So I'm very content with just going to Murli class, go to Baba's room, connect to Baba, tell him whatever it is that I have on my mind, and then come home.
Yeah.
I'm very happy with that.
Yeah.
But I do feel like, you know, obviously these are amazing, but if I did need to speak to them, yeah, of course I would go down that route. But so far, you know, because we are juggling so much in life, it is very much go for meditation, go Murli, come home, and you're rushing to, go to work, dress the kids up or whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. And how was your experience coming to Madhuban?
Oh, gosh. That would take a long time to,
go please, through. Please.
It's very surreal. It's very surreal. It's... I didn't have any expectations. It was very, like, I was very open, you know. And it's so funny how it happened as well. I never had any plans to come to Madhuban at all. But me and my mother-in-law, we went to, in UK, I don't know if it happens here, but we do World Meditation Hour meditation. So for 2 or 3 hours, we do, like, lots of meditation. The sisters all come on the stage and give special drishti, and then there's Brahma Bhojan. So I went into that with my mother-in-law. And then this strong thought just came in that I want to go Madhuban, just like that. And it's something I've never discussed. I don't know where it came from. So I went home and I said to my husband, I think I need to go Madhuban. I'm going Madhuban. And he goes, where's this come from? You've never mentioned it. Like, what are you talking about? So I said, I want to go Madhuban. Like, mom, so at that time, my mother-in-law and Masi Sasu had already planned to go anyhow. They hadn't booked their trip. So then I said to my mother-in-law, I said, Mom, I think I'm going to come Madhuban with you, if that's okay. So I think even she was like so surprised. She couldn't take it in. So she's like, where's this come from? And then, you know, there's more to add to it. You know, to leave the children for 12 days I came for, it's not easy. But that thought didn't even come into my mind. And bearing in mind, I've only left the children for 2 nights maximum. And even then, you know, I go through so much stress and worry and so much. But this time, I wasn't even worried about the kids. I said, yeah, they'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, it wasn't even a concern. And it was so surprising. So then, like, my husband was like, you still want to go? I said, yeah, I want to go. So they were like, okay, well, let's speak to the center because obviously, you know, you need to have authorization from the center. So they're okay, let's get the authorization.
It's a very good thing that your family is so much supportive.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. I am very lucky. So luckily, both of these, you know, allowed me to come to Madhuban as well. Again, knowing that I'm very early in the stage, because at first, you know, my mother-in-law was like, you know, I'm not sure if you can even go. You're so early in the process. You know, I don't know if it's a thing. But they both said, no, you're early in this process. And the fact that you want to go, we want to encourage that. So that's amazing. So that road opened up. So we're like, okay, the form's been signed, it's been approved, we're going to Madhuban, just like that. And it happened over a period of a couple of months, and it was done.
Oh.
And so even the build-up of it, you know, I didn't feel any stress. I was very chilled. Even like, you know, as a business owner, to be away from your business, it's a lot.
Task.
Yeah, it really is. Luckily, I've got an amazing business partner. But usually, again, I get very like worked up and I'm like, I need to sort this out. But that all happened very easily. You know, cooked all my husband's food, so he's got food ready for him as well. Although we've got help with the family as well, just to make sure that he's okay. Even that all happened easily. No stress, no drama. And I think it was all meant to be, looking back now, you know, it was all meant to be, it's part of the drama. And it was just very easy, very easy. And then we came straight to Pandav Bhavan, and it was beautiful. I went to Amrit Vela, I did my first Amrit Vela. And that's where I got that message, you know, in Baba's room, you know, the Hindi, speaking in Hindi. And I thought, gosh, where's that come from? And prior to that, I kept saying to Baba, you know, I want to learn Hindi. How shall I learn Hindi? I want to learn. And that's how he sent that message. So little snippets of that kind of kept happening. And then we had the encounter with the sister where this happened. You think, gosh, what's going on here? This is all like, you know, it's like a dream. It's a real dream. And then, you know, it's allowed me, my mother-in-law, my Masi Sasu as well, to enjoy this beautiful bond as well, because the three of us are in this very high vibration place, and it's brought us together. I can't explain it. We've come together. We were close anyway, but it's brought a very special bond as well. And not once have I worried about the children, or I've thought, oh gosh, what are they doing, how are they? It's just things, they're okay, Baba's looking after them,
and
they'll
the best
be fine.
Thing is that you're giving time to your own soul.
Yes,
you're giving
yes.
time to yourself,
and I feel very content. I feel like, you know, I did Amrit Vela in Shantivan as well. And I think, you know, you just feel very peace, just so much peace within yourself. It's so hard to put it into words, but just you feel very, very calm. You just feel very relaxed. And you have this sense of like, it's okay, I've got Baba. Whatever happens, even this podcast, this is something I've never done. It's, you know, it's the first time I'm doing something like this. But even in that, I just thought, it's okay, Baba will help me. It
did
will happen.
Did you go to Avyakt Lok?
I think we did, yes. Yes,
it's
I did.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. It's lovely. It's stunning.
It's a beautiful place to go to in the morning
yes.
at 4 a.m.
Yes, yeah. It is. I found the Amrit Vela the most powerful. That was my... It was such a surreal moment.
There is a photo of Gulzar Dadi
yes,
as well.
Yes, yes, right, beautiful. Yeah. One other experience I'd like to share, if that's okay, is we're in Gyan Sorovar, and the sister was next to me. I think she was from Canada. And Sudesh Didi came on the stage, and I was like, oh, I don't know, there's something about Sudesh Didi, I just think she's so powerful, she's just such a lovely soul. She comes to UK to tie the Rakri honours as well, so it's very nice. And so she was like, oh, I recognise her face, she did the Murli this morning here. And I said, what, here, she delivers the Murli? And she goes, yeah. And I said, oh my God. And I said to my Masi Sasu, I said, Masi, you know, Sudesh Didi delivered the Murli today here in Hindi. I said, come on, we'll come to Gyan Sorovar tomorrow, we'll come, you know. Obviously, you know, to come, it takes half an hour, you got to get the bus and whatnot. And they're a bit older, so they're like, well, I'm not sure about that. So anyway, so we had to then go onto the stage and take a photo with Sudesh Didi. So I said to Masi, I said, you know what, go and tell Sudesh Didi, ask her, is she coming to Gyan Sorovar tomorrow? Because then I'll get the bus to come here. Because obviously we weren't staying in Gyan Sorovar. So we went on stage and Masi just casually just brought it in. She goes, oh, she really wants to listen to your Murli Didi. You know, are you just doing it in Gyan Sorovar? And she goes, where are you staying? So we told her where we're staying. And she's like, it's okay, I'll come there tomorrow. And I was like, oh my God. And Masi's like, yeah, see, you're sorted. So I thought, I don't know, but is this real? So then the following day I went to Amrit Vela. And I came back and it was 6 o'clock. And I said to my mother-in-law, Masi Sasu, I said, I think I'm going to get the bus to Gyan Sorovar because, you know, what if Didi doesn't come here? So I don't want to miss it, you know, because we're coming to Shantivan the following day. And then again, I just got a message from Baba saying, it's okay, don't worry, it's going to happen. What you want is going to happen. So went to Pandav Bhavan Murli and Sudesh Didi was there. And you think, whoa, how is that possible? You know, just from one little thing I said and it just happened, you know. And so, yeah, beautiful little moments like that. And again, one thing I would say as well, Madhuban makes you cry. I don't know how, but you get all emotional, you know, because you're at so much peace. that tears just run out of your eyes. You think, what's going on?
Seriously, oh, nice.
So, nice. Yes, it's been a beautiful encounter, a beautiful experience. And I feel like I'm going home with so much gyan, so much peace.
More energy.
Yeah, more energized. You know, like Baba says, like treasures, so many treasures. It's unbelievable. It's been a lovely, lovely experience.
Which one was the best one for you? Pandav Bhavan, Gyan Sarovar, or Shanti Van?
I think Pandav Bhavan's energy is amazing. You know, Peace Tower, Baba's Chupti, as I think it's called, Baba's room, History Hall. That was very powerful.
Did you stay there?
Yeah, we stayed there. So we stayed there for 3 nights and then moved over to Shantivan for 2 nights.
It's very difficult to stay there because, yes. it's almost...
So that's another story in itself. So the Didi said to us, you know, from UK, she's like, you stay in Gyan Sarovar because, you know, being from UK, there's amazing classes there. So for me, it'll be very easy for me. For my mother-in-law and Masi, they're easy. But she said, you know, for you... it'll be very nice because you'll get to, because all the classes are set, are there at Harmony House. So she goes, then you're not traveling back and forth as well. So stay in Gyan Sarovar. So then we came to Madhuban, we went to Gyan Sarovar, and she goes, no, you're not here. You're staying in Pandav Bhavan. Oh. So mom's like, no, but we're staying in Gyan Sarovar. And I said, come on, mom, it's fine. Whatever's meant to be, this is Baba's, you know, it's meant to be, it's part of the drama, let's roll with it. And we go into Pandav Bhavan. So yes, and it was so funny because even on the way here, my Masi Sas was like, I really want to stay in Pandav Bhavan. And obviously, it's the first time I don't really know, you know, much about it. Yes, I've seen the YouTube videos, but it's very different. So then I thought, when she said that to me, I thought, come on, I want to stay in Pandav Bhavan. So on the way, throughout the whole, you know, journey, I was thinking, oh, I want to stay in Pandav Bhavan now. I don't want to stay in Gyan Sarovar. I thought, let's see what Baba does. And look at that, it happened. So, yeah, it's funny how these little thoughts, you know, if the thought is strong enough, it happens. Yeah, but you've just got to think.
It's all about the frequency.
Yeah, the thoughts. It's manifestation to a certain degree. You know, we all call it different things, you know, but it's just putting that thought out there. If you put the good thought out there, it will come to you. And whereas I think a lot of people, they're like, no, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And I think that's where we can, you know, there's a bit of change of our thought process because we can easily get trapped into that negative way of thinking that, oh no, how is that going to happen? Because, and we go into that logistic method of, no, that can't happen because of X, because of Y, because of this. And we go very logistic where we just think, it will happen. Somehow it's going to happen. And when I think of like Sudeshthiti, for example, saying she's going to come to Pandav Bhavan, I think, oh my God, she's going to come just because we asked her? Like, surely not, you know? But she made it happen. You think, I was gobsmacked, absolutely gobsmacked.
So what is your opinion about the people who are surrendered over here in Madhuban?
Yeah.
Like they have been living here for the last 20 years, 30 years, and been following the same routine for the last, you know, decade or so.
Yeah.
Waking up early in the morning, you know, and not eating outside food, listening to Murli, and getting involved in all sorts of sevas. Yeah. So was it altogether a new experience for you? Did you interact with any of the brothers or sisters?
I've had probably small interactions with sisters. I mean, I applaud them. You know, they're doing so much Baba Seva and bringing so much happiness to everybody that's here.
And they speak so softly.
Yes, yes. And it's very inspiring to see them as well because you think, you know, I can learn a bit from here as well. In terms of, you know, what they're following, you know, again, they do so much. You know, if they're waking up for Amrit Vela, then they're going to Murli, then they're doing all this unlimited seva. But I guess it's their love for Baba, isn't it?
Yeah.
Their connection to the Supreme. And it's wonderful to see in terms of, you know, how long they've been doing it for.
And staying away from the families.
Yeah. I mean, I think some people still, I'm not sure, but sisters I spoke to, they do go and visit their families, but I could be wrong. I'm only going with the experience that I've seen. But in terms of how long they've been doing it and, you know, following the process, I don't think I can comment on that because I think that's their own personal journey, you know. And I think whether things change or, you know, I always think change is good. You know, we all need change. And, you know, they say, you know, I don't want to get this wrong, but obviously we're in Kaliyug at the minute, you know. Yeah. They say we're at the, everyone's at the worst possible stage in terms of soul consciousness, you know, where we are. So I guess sometimes, you know, there's... in the whole world, isn't it, there's conflict. Conflict's going to be at its peak, you know, the way it is. But I guess we've all got to just have that belief that things will get better. We're going to that golden age. And I guess that's what keeps you going forward, isn't it?
Yeah. Are you also waiting for Satyug?
Well, I think my mother-in-law makes a very good comment on this. So she goes, you know, my whole house is already like a swarg. You know, we're already living that. Because
that's the most beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Because what you have got right now, that is actually what matters.
Yes, exactly.
Just by thinking about what is going to happen tomorrow and what we're going to have tomorrow.
Yep.
Why are we destroying our present?
Exactly.
I mean, I'm not... I just want to know your opinion.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think we waste so much. It's like Baba says, waste thoughts, isn't it? It's in the Raj Yoga course as well. We waste so much energy worrying. And I think it's, you know, we think, oh, it's natural. It's not natural. We don't need to worry. You know, we can't control the past. We can't control the future. But we can control this moment and make sure we really make the most of it. And, you know, feel that nourishment that, yes, I've lived in the moment and I've enjoyed it thoroughly.
So when are you planning to come next to Madhuban?
I don't know, but my eldest son, when I was coming to Madhuban this time, he's like, I really want to come. So we even tried, but he couldn't get the leave from school. So I'd like to think, you know, we'd like to come back with him, hopefully, all being well, see what Baba's got planned. I believe there are like family retreats as well for children, so that would be amazing. So yeah, let's see, but I would like to definitely come back.
And do you ever wish to... surrender yourself to Brahma Kumaris and shift to Madhuban like many of the sisters and brothers have done?
At this stage I'd say no, because I have a Lokic family, so yeah, at this stage probably not, but you know, I'd like
to. It's good to be honest.
But I follow the principles. I respect, you know, all the surrender sisters, because they do so much work. Without them we wouldn't be able to do, you know, have this facility of coming to Madhuban.
And you're very much thankful to Brahma Kumaris because of the meditation, you are, you know, able to live your life in a more organized manner, and, you know, and because of Brahma Kumaris, you got connected to Baba.
Mm.
That is the most wonderful thing which nobody can.
I think, again, it comes down to your own journey. There shouldn't be, like, I think sometimes people get too involved with, you know, like, politics. There shouldn't be any politics involved. It's your own personal journey, and that's why I say, you know, it's what you feel, how you feel about Baba. When you sit in silence, what's coming to you? What's the messages? You know, just simple things.
This is something which you can definitely convey. You should convey to some of the people, because not all of them are so lucky to have good people around them to guide them. So this is a very simple and a very organic thought which should be given to the people who are heartbroken, let's put it in a better way, who did not get proper guidance. So it's just you and Baba.
Yeah.
Like the way you mentioned.
Yes, 100%. It's genuinely that. There doesn't need, I mean, if you want other people involved, fair enough. You know, you might take guidance from sisters and so forth. Whoever you're, you know, I'm lucky enough that I have got a family that's already in Gyan, you know. But one thing I will say that I forgot to mention is that, going back to my husband, so he kind of sort of not, he didn't come away from it, but he kind of fizzled out, you know, his journey, his connection with Baba. But me coming into Gyan is kind of cemented his relationship with Baba again, which is again beautiful to see, because now we both like on the same level, you know. He's, you know, got that, and he always had it, but I've just reignited that connection, and so that's nice to see as well. So it has an impact on everyone. You know, it starts with you, but those vibrations, those blessings, it affects everybody around you, whether it's your friend circle, your Lokic family, everybody.
What would you say? Should we be following any particular spiritual leader? Secondly, why is it like that? You know, people in India, are, you know, conservative. Do they pretend to be conservative? Or they should be conservative.
Interesting point. Obviously, I can't comment on India, you know, how people are. I think in UK, the beauty is that people can connect to different people. So it might not just be one person. So, you know, in UK, Sadhguru, he's quite, you know, he reaches out to a lot of people. And he simplifies it again. I think what people now want is simplicity. They don't want the heavy stuff. You know, growing up, from a bhakti family, you know, a lot of devotion. It worked You know, for my parents, it worked for my mom really well because it gave it, you know, she was able to connect, which is brilliant. Mm. But for, I guess, what I see with myself and my peers is that we're asking the whys. We want to understand why. Why are we doing this? What's the reason behind
because
it?
Because youth is very much practical nowadays. Mm,
that's right. And it's got to make sense, you know. So we're thinking, well, why do we have to do this? Why do we have to do that? And sometimes when we dig a bit deeper, it's not because of our scriptures. It's because of culture. It's because many, many years ago, that's just what they did in that particular village. Mm. Or, you know, that's just what worked for them. Or it could be anything. You know, an old lady just said that this is what we should do. And it was like it just became the way of doing things. Yeah. But, you know, we're in a world now where things have moved forward so much.
But do all these things, you know, is any of such thing, you know, related with God, do you think?
I don't think I can answer that. I think religion, like, you know, as a Hindu, I would say, you know, the Bhagavad Gita, you know, I've read it. It's a beautiful book, you know, if you can understand the scriptures, it's amazing. But I think what comes in terms of with it is a lot of cultural aspects to it. And I think it's finding, I think that today's generation want to go to the true roots mm-hmm. of the scriptures and the religion, mm-hmm. and they'll go by that. So they're questioning, well, this is not what's in, you know, the Gita. Mm-hmm. So why are we doing this, you know? This is not what's been said to us, so why do we have to do this?
So one should not blindly follow anybody.
Yeah, I think it's not even that. I think people don't want to now, you know. Mm. Again, it's what works for you, but it's like, I think we're in a world where we want to understand the whys. It's got to make sense to us, you mm-hmm. know. And it's got to align with our principles, our own principles. Mm. If it doesn't align with my way of life, then it's not going to work, isn't it? It's not. It's like they say, you know, Baba's your companion, so you look to him as your, you know, your friend, your teacher, your father. But if it doesn't align with what your principles are, like the BK, you know, way of life, then clearly there's conflict there, isn't yeah. it? So it's finding what works for you. But I do think the Western culture, they're not about, you know, saying, okay, I'm a strict. I mean, don't get me wrong, there are, but the general sort of people that I see, they pick little things from different aspects mm. and just kind of amalgamate it and just focus on being a good human.
But do you think if you feel pressurized about any particular ritual or tradition or any particular rule, mm. so should we be following that tradition or should we be very much vocal about, no, yeah, this is not something which I can digest, so please give me the liberty.
So I have a lot of respect for religion. Like, I just wanted to add, like, my son, he goes to Hare Krishna school, ISKCOM school in Leicester. And it's amazing. That's another thing that's, you know, really helped the children, because, yes, they're getting Baba's Gyan, but they're also getting Hare Krishna, you know, ISKCOM Gyan. And again, that's straight from the scriptures. It's not like how we were learnt the religion. When we were growing up, it was more cultural, you know, aspects. You can't do this because this is going to happen. You can't do that because that's going to happen. But he's learning it directly from the Bhagavad Gita. Mm. And that's a big difference. And it's beautiful to see that journey as well. And I do feel like, you know, religion, it's a beautiful thing. I respect all religions. But I think sometimes the messages get mixed up. And that's where people get confused. So you're not going to be able to use your full potential because you're scared. Pressure comes with fear. You know, it's all the wrong energies. There's nothing, I don't feel personally anything good can come out of pressure. So I feel like if you do feel pressure, then again, you know, you've got to sort of ask yourself why, what's happening, what's my connection with Baba? And again, sit in silence, see what the answers are for you. You know, if you have that faith and that belief, then the answer will come to you, I believe.
Very true. So it was really, really nice talking to you, and thank you so much for sharing your lovely experiences, and we really look forward to talk to you very soon, and we wish you all the best for your lovely journey, new journey with Brahma Kumaris. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. So ye tha hamara aaj ka Dil Se Dil Tak episode Beena Sister ke saath, jisme hum sabko bahut kuch seekhne ko mila. मुझे बहुत कुछ सीखने को मिला. अभी तो बहुत नए हैं वो अपनी इस जर्नी में, लेकिन इतनी छोटी सी जर्नी में हमने ये सीख लिया कि कैसे उन्होंने एक माँ होते हुए, एक पत्नी होते हुए, एक बहू होते हुए, उन्होंने कैसे मेडिटेशन को, कैसे बाबा को और कैसे अपनी स्पिरिचुअलिटी को बरकरार रखा, कैसे उन्होंने हर चीज़ को फॉलो किया, बाबा से बातें करना, बाबा रूम में जाके बातें करना, एक बहुत ही ट्रांसपेरेंट, बहुत ही सिंपल रखा चीज़ों को, ट्रांसपेरेंट रखा, ऑनेस्ट रखा, ज़्यादा लोगों के साथ इन्वॉल्व नहीं रहे। दीदी के साथ बहुत ही अच्छा उनका उन्होंने सीखा और जैसा भी उनका रहा। बट द मोस्ट इम्पॉर्टेंट थिंग जो हम सबको सीखनी चाहिए कि थर्ड पर्सन कोई भी हो, कैसा भी हो, लेकिन हमारा जो कनेक्शन है वो सिर्फ बाबा के साथ है, और वो जो कनेक्शन है हमेशा ऑनेस्ट रहना चाहिए, हमेशा सिंपल रहना चाहिए, बिकॉज बाबा जो है वो आपसे कोई चीज़ों की डिमांड नहीं करते। द ओनली थिंग विच ही डिमांड्स फ्रॉम यू इज़ प्योरिटी, आपका सच्चा दिल। थैंक यू।